like got kicked out of musical theater. That was basically how I got it. They were like, eh, you can't sing. You're annoying to be on a bus with. And so then I went to stand-up.
People in LA are pretty great. They are. Except they always want me to give them money for a cause. And I'm like, I'm a gay bipolar Jew with a lazy eye. I am the cause.
Roseanne, did Dana Eagle soar?
She did soar. Your stuff is really smart, and you had a lot of confidence up there, and you delivered the mail.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Dozens of naked men are humiliated at a Cairo gay bathhouse crackdown. Seoul's mayor bows to human rights pressure. And fun with the Eagle, the Hummer, and the last comic standing. All that and a lot more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Chris Ann Eastwood.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending December 13th, 2014. Egyptian police raided a bathhouse in Cairo on December 7th and marched dozens of naked and frightened allegedly gay men into waiting vans as local news cameras rolled. Because there's no specific law in Egypt against private consensual adult same-gender sex, the detainees were each charged with perversion and debauchery. Various media sources placed the number of men arrested from about 25 to 40. There were also reports that Mona Iraqi of the TV program The Hidden, which airs on the local pro-government news channel, had been tipped off about the raid and had a camera crew in place before it began. She trumpeted her exclusive report about group perversion on Facebook. The raid is the latest in a police crackdown during the past few months against LGBT people in and around Cairo that have netted more than 100 arrests. Activists say that President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi is trying to prove that he is more Muslim than Mohamed Morsi and his Muslim Brotherhood, whom Sisi deposed in a military coup earlier this year.
Thousands of Gambians marched through the capital city of Banjul on December 9th to denounce the European Union for withdrawing foreign aid over the country's new anti-gay laws. Notoriously genocidal President Yahya Jammeh, who's referred to LGBT people as vermin, joined the protesters. They held placards and banners reading, "Homosexuality is inhuman" and "Homosexuality is forbidden in Islam." More than 95% of Gambia's 2 million people identify as Muslim. The EU withdrew millions of euros in aid soon after the West African country passed laws that include banning the advocacy of LGBT rights and punishing aggravated homosexuality with life in prison. Gambia's Foreign Minister Bala Garba Jahumpa called homosexuality satanic and detrimental to human existence in a nationally televised speech in November. He said that his country would never abandon its anti-gay laws in exchange for aid from the European Union or any other foreign power, no matter how much aid is involved.
In related news, the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston refused this week to dismiss a Crimes Against Humanity case against Massachusetts-based homophobe Scott Lively. The Christian evangelical pastor is facing charges for traveling to Uganda to foment passage of what was originally called the Kill the Gays Bill in the East African nation through seminars peddling so-called gay cures. Though the version of the bill that eventually passed, with the maximum penalty of life in prison, was overturned on a legal technicality. A new version of the anti-homosexuality bill is pending in Uganda's parliament. The U.S. Federal Appeals Court judgment rejected Lively's free speech argument, ruling that, although it is debatable whether the district court has properly parsed the petitioner's protected speech from any unprotected speech or conduct, his right to extraordinary relief is not clear and indisputable. The petition is denied. The unusual case filed against Lively in U.S. District Court by prominent Ugandan activists must now go to trial.
Meanwhile, same-gender English and Welsh couples in civil partnerships can now officially convert them to civil marriages under legislation that took effect on December 10th. More than 60,000 partnerships have been formed over the past decade, and most observers expect the majority of them to be converted to marriage, though the choice is up to each couple. Heterosexual couples are not allowed to enter into civil partnerships. Scottish same-gender couples will also be able to choose between civil partnership and civil marriage on December 31st. The people of Ireland will vote in a marriage equality referendum next year. Marriage equality is not even on the agenda in Northern Ireland.
Chilean lawmakers and the country's activist group, the Movement for Homosexual Integration and Liberation, announced on December 6th that a bill to open civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples was being introduced in the House of Delegates. The Senate approved similar legislation in October. President Michelle Bachelet supports the proposal to change a man and a woman to two people in the country's marriage law and replace husband and wife with spouse.
In other news, Mayor Park Won-soon of the South Korean capital of Seoul agreed on Human Rights Day, December 10th, to meet with LGBT protesters who had occupied City Hall for 5 consecutive days after he nullified a municipal human rights charter. Conservative Christian groups had pressured the mayor to dump the charter because it contained provisions banning bias based on sexual orientation and gender identity. A citizens' committee had approved the inclusive language. Park said on his Facebook page that it pained his heart that he could not achieve the universal consensus on the charter that he had sought by working with the citizens' committee and took responsibility for the violent homophobic protests that marred public hearings on the charter. "I bow my head and apologize for the anxiety I have caused," he wrote. "I promise I will make efforts to get rid of existing discrimination." It's unclear, however, what specific steps toward that goal he might take.
The International Olympic Committee has approved the specific addition of sexual orientation to the bias-banning Principle 6 of the Olympic Charter. Principle 6 originally read, "Any form of discrimination with regard to a country or a person on grounds of race, religion, politics, gender, or otherwise is incompatible with belonging to the Olympic movement." Sparked by protests against Russian homophobia preceding the Winter Games earlier this year in Sochi, officials had claimed that gays and lesbians were protected in the otherwise category. Stuart Milk, the out nephew of assassinated San Francisco supervisor Harvey Milk and an activist in his own right, applauded the addition of the LGB in Principle 6 on MSNBC's The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell, but noted the absence of the T.
"We still have work to do because we don't know for sure where our transgender brothers and sisters fit into that. They have said that it's included in the end other phrase of the non-discrimination policy. But make no mistake about it, this sends a huge message to countries that discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, that they are not going to be able to bid to be host cities if they have those laws on the books."
Transgender service in the U.S. military is up for discussion, at least as far as Air Force Secretary Deborah Lee James is concerned. USA Today Washington Bureau Chief Susan Page asked her about that this week.
"You're implementing the move to open jobs in the military to women, more jobs, and gay men and lesbians can now openly serve in the U.S. military, but transgender people are still barred. From your point of view, is there a readiness reason why transgender people should not be allowed to serve?"
"From my point of view, anyone who is capable of accomplishing the job should be able to serve. And so I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't come under review."
New York activists are celebrating 2 advances for transgender people this week. The New York City Council overwhelmingly approved legislation sponsored by out Councilman Corey Johnson that removes an old requirement that transgender people prove that they've undergone gender reassignment surgery before they can amend their birth certificates. Mayor Bill de Blasio is expected to sign the bill into law, and the city's Board of Health is expected to adopt similar regulations. A transgender New Yorker will now just need a certified letter from a physician stating that the person consistently lives in her or his authentic gender, and that such a change to the birth certificate is warranted. New York State Department of Financial Services then issued a directive to health insurance companies requiring them to cover all medically necessary gender-affirming treatments for transgender patients. Under the new policy, hormone therapy, psychological therapy, and transition-related surgeries will be covered. The New York-based Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund has been leading the efforts to reform the old policies.
Elsewhere, Roman Catholic Pope Francis told his hometown Argentinian newspaper La Nación this week that parents should support their gay and lesbian children. He said that there were discussions in Rome at the two-week Extraordinary Synod of Bishops on the Family he convened in October about how the church can help families deal with what he called that somewhat unusual situation. Bishops dumped language in a draft document at the end of the gathering that would have been more welcoming to LGBT people. The failure of the synod to adopt that language underscores deep divisions among the bishops on the place of sexual minorities within the church.
And finally, the 500-year-old Shunkoin Zen Buddhist temple in Kyoto, Japan, has become the country's first to host wedding ceremonies for same-gender couples, even though the country won't legally recognize them. Rocket News reported this week that the temple even has a partnership deal with gay tour operator OutTravel Asia and a gay-friendly hotel to offer a wedding package to tourists. A statement on their website says that Shunkoin Temple is against any forms of human rights violations in the world. No religion teaches how to hate others. Religion teaches how to love and respect others. Amen to that.
That's News Wrap for the week ending December 13th, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was produced by Steve Pry, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Chrisanne Eastwood.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra.
Have you checked our website lately? For now playing information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to thiswayout.org.
Other funny folk may fall, but we'll cheer for the lesbian comic standing later in the program. The magic of books takes us to three different yet similar worlds with queer life and literature commentator Janet Mason as our intrepid tour guide.
Recently, I read Pride Climbing Higher, Stories by LGBT People from Nepal, Mardi Gras, a collection of photos from Australia, and The Last Conception, a story about an East Indian American woman, which reminded me that we are all deeply connected. In Pride Climbing Higher, Stories by LGBT People from Nepal, Creative Nepal, 2014, editor and writing instructor Chad Frisby and his associates put together a moving collection of stories by people who have sexual and gender minority identities in Nepal. In Power from the Inside, Simran Shershan writes poignantly about being transgender. When I arrived in Nepal, my heart would not allow me to return to Pokhara because my parents would force me to marry a girl. I didn't want to ruin someone's life, my wife's life, so I hid in Kathmandu. In front of the mirror in Kathmandu, I took off my clothes. I looked at my body. I felt that my soul was in the wrong body. I realized that I had to wear what my mind and heart wanted. The very first time I wore the clothes I wanted to wear since childhood, a woman's casual attire, I felt like a magician's wand had touched my body. I became a lady. Mardi Gras, 2014, Sonia Friedrich, is a beautifully done collection of photographs from Australia. There are no words to accompany the photos, but there is something about a man in a gold lame nun's habit or two men wearing mostly sparkles and holding hands that is undeniably gay. There are also photos of drag queens with pink hair and a pretty young woman waving a rainbow flag and a sign about Christians supporting equality through marriage that looks absolutely pedestrian in this context. The Last Conception, a novel by Gabriel Constance, Melange Books, 2014, is a mystery of sorts about a lesbian couple who get together and have a baby. But will their plan work? And what about one of the women's tradition-bound East Indian family who she finally comes out to? A major part of the mystery lies in the religious beliefs of the protagonist's parents. As Savarna, their lesbian daughter, says, "But Mom, Dad, doesn't this sort of thing go against all your religious beliefs? I mean, I'm not trying to put a damper on anything, but I'm a little confused." In The Last Conception, the main characters discover many of the challenges that lesbian couples face when deciding to have a baby. Plus, it has the added dimension of family expectations based on culture and tradition. It reminds us that we can never leave our past behind. This is Janet Mason with commentary on queer life and leisure.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
Whether you've laughed at her on The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson as a last comic standing contestant or as an opener for political humorist Bill Maher, if you've seen lesbian comedian Dana Eagle, you've laughed. She's performed two hit one-woman shows, Stones from Glass Houses at the HBO US Comedy Art Festival, and Mood Disorders, a lighthearted romp through crippling depression at the Los Angeles Theater Festival. And she's also hosted Showtime Next and E! Entertainment Network's E! Life Lessons. Eagle has even entertained U.S. troops in Iraq. But she lives in Los Angeles, where fans Chris Wilson and Wenzel Jones got to sample her act and sit down with her for a chat.
People in L.A. are pretty great. They are. Except they always want me to give them money for a cause. And I'm like, I'm a gay bipolar Jew with a lazy eye. I am... Yeah, I am the cause.
What in the world made you get into comedy and be able to be out there so vulnerable with who you are in front of people who might either laugh or might throw tomatoes?
I got kicked out of musical theater. That was basically how I got in. They were like, eh, you can't sing. You're annoying to be on a bus with. And so then I went to stand-up. And when I first started stand-up and then I was traveling, I would do some jokes about growing up Jewish, and people would come up to me afterwards and they'd say, oh, are you really Jewish? And I thought that was so weird. Like, who would pretend to be Jewish?
What inspires what you talk about in your show?
I guess it's changed over time, but I guess more like the not fitting in. You know, it's that thing of like, you don't fit in, so you have time to sit back and like see what's going on with everyone else and see all the reasons why you don't fit in. And yeah, but then you find out that more people don't fit in than actually fit in anyway, right?
I was just wondering, because I love to ask this of comics. You have such a distinctive voice, but how long did it take for you to find that?
Yeah, this takes a long time. This takes, I mean, only recently in stand-up do they, you know, like, I guess, do they pluck, like, the youngins? But it used to be, like, you had to be in your late 30s, early 40s to pop, because this really takes a very long time. And I still go through, like, when people say that to me, like, you have a voice, I'm like, oh, I do? What is it? What's my point of view? Yeah.
Does everybody expect that you're always going to be funny all of the time? Do you get that?
That does happen, but that's, you know, not with the inside circle. The inside circle knows, and yeah, that does happen sometimes, but I let them know very quickly by not being funny.
So how
by being tragic.
Oh, of course.
And talking about politics.
Oh. So how did you end up on Last Comic Standing? How did that break happen for you?
I have no idea how that happened. I think they did know me because the producers of it are comedians. It's Paige Hurwitz and Wanda. And so, like, they've been around. And then this year what they decided to do was instead of going around the country and having people wait on lines and stuff, they decided they were going to just start with comedians. So they started with 100 comedians. And so I did have to do a private audition first. That sounds dirty, but it wasn't.
That's what they all say, Dana.
Yeah. So I did have to do that. So then I got it, and then so now we know how I do everything. I do everything by thinking it doesn't matter or it's not going to really happen, and then when it does, I melt down, and I did. And then when they called and they said, like, they want to use you for it, and I was like, I can't tell my agent and manager no because they're going to be like, why? What else are you doing? And so I just, you know, cried. And then I got over it, and then I did it. And it was great.
Well, I want to play for our audience a little bit of your big controversial moment on Last Comic Standing.
This year, I lost a few friends to babies. Very, very debilitating disease. Suffer from exhaustion. My question is, why? Why do we congratulate people when they have kids? Shouldn't we wait and see how they turn out first? Yeah. And, And don't get me wrong, because I like a lot of my friends' kids. I do. I like a lot of them. But then there's always those one or two where you're like, that one should have been a Hummer.
I take it that wasn't your first choice of word to use. And I understand that that was beeped out in some places. So it was should have been a beep.
It should have been a beep. Yeah. And then people filled it in themselves with it, with the word aborted. And I that's not what I said. I didn't say aborted. And I should just say this, like, I feel like on behalf of the comics, because I know a lot of people watch and they'll be like, oh, that person wasn't funnier. Like, people don't realize what we have to go through in terms of the amount of material we're not allowed to do and the amount of brand names that we're not allowed to say, and that we'll get stuff back from S&P like that day, like crossing off our set. So, yeah, but people thought I said the word aborted. So I heard from pro-lifers. Pro-lifer, one particularly nasty one immediately. And then I was defending myself and I was like, but that's not what I said. But then I was like, well, why am I defending myself? Yeah. Like, I'm not pro-life anyway. And if you're pro-life, shouldn't you be pro-Hummer? And then that didn't make any sense to me at all.
And can I say, you speak to my cold black stone of a heart, because I kind of have it in for children myself. And I think it's so brave of you to take it on, because it's really one of the last sacred things in this culture. It's like, you don't touch the kid. The kid is everything.
I want kids. I do. I want kids. When I have kids, I'm going to speak to them in a foreign accent and tell them I came to this country to make a better life for them. Yeah. Because otherwise, what am I going to do? Tell them I came from a world of privilege and I whittled it down to this. Families are very special. They are. They're very special. I always watch the celebrities at the Oscar Awards. I always watch them get up. And in their speech, they always thank their moms and their dads. And it always touches me. It makes me think about what it is I'd say to my family if I ever got a big award like that. I think I'd just be like, and to my family, I'd like to say, is this enough? Is this enough? Are you happy now? Are you happy? Maybe we could let law school go. And thanks to the Academy. Thank you guys so much.
That's Dana Eagle!
I absolutely love that. I loved your entire set.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, I really did. But I think always when I hear a comic say something like that, I think, God, what if their mom's watching?
Oh, my parents. I don't know what's wrong with my parents, but they always, no matter what I said about them, they're always just thrilled. Like, they feel, I was like, did you hear the words I was saying? Like, I was saying you neglected me, and they're like, yeah, it was great. Like, they just feel proud to be represented in the show.
Oh, that's fabulous.
So, yeah, that is fabulous. They're very proud of their neglect. My mother will tell you the story of how she quit smoking the day I was born. So.
Well, now I was curious, because I remember the first time I heard that piece, I thought, what would Dana Eagle do if somebody actually got up at the Oscars and did that? Would you be
That's
mad
right,
or thrilled?
Because you and I did a benefit together.
Yes, we did, in a bowling alley.
We did.
A nice bowling alley.
Oh, of course.
What a bowling alley.
And no, I do. And actually, my mom told me that when she watches the Oscars and the Emmys every year, that she holds her breath and she's like, what if somebody does it? But I think now I'm resigned that I don't think I'm going to necessarily get the chance to use it. So if someone else does, that's fine. And also, you always kind of feel like once things are down on tape, it's like, it was mine first. It's on tape.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Well, let's hear what Roseanne had to say about your set.
Roseanne, did Dana Eagle soar?
She did soar. You did soar.
Oh, thanks.
You know, we wanted to hear more about you. We said last time, you know,
right.
We want to hear more about your
it's coming.
Know, growing up and stuff like that. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear that. I enjoyed your set a lot. I think you're a great writer. I think you're a modern woman with a modern point of view. You kind of remind me of my daughters. But I like you anyway. And I do. And, you know, I think your stuff is really smart, and you had a lot of confidence up there, and you delivered the mail.
Well, thank
Good
you.
Good job.
Very much.
That was nice.
Well, the thing that made me the happiest about everything I saw in Last Comic Standing is when I looked you up and I found out you were local here in Los Angeles. Where can they find out more?
DanaEagle.com.
Okay, DanaEagle.com.
D-A-N-A.
D-A-N-A.
Yeah,
Eagle like the bird.
Like the bird. Ah, ah. Yeah,
.com.
That was the call of the Dana Eagle flying over Chris Wilson and Wenzel Jones, ably assisted by Steve Pride.
Huh.
Hi, I'm news wrap reporter Chris Ann Eastwood. It's that time of year again when many of our U.S. listeners consider ways to maximize their annual charitable tax deductions.
And I'm news wrap reporter Michael LeBeau. No matter where you are in the world, we need your help. Log on to thiswayout.org to do your part to keep this nonprofit volunteer-based program going.
You'll also find some unique musical, cultural, and historical programming from the This Way Out archives as our way of saying thank you. And those CDs make unique holiday gifts, too.
Please go to thiswayout.org to support our efforts to inform, entertain, and educate listeners around the world. Or use Post Office Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA.
From the This Way Out family to you and yours, happy holidays and thank you.
Happy whatever you're having. Hope that the season is bright. Wish that for you, all your best dreams come true if they're politically correct and not too far right. Make healthy choices this season. Don't be gloomy or depressed. But if you are, don't be worried. It's just normal, whatever you're having stress. Have a multicultural, gender-neutral, non-sectarian, unambiguous, ovo-lacto-vegetarian, nature-loving, sweet agrarian, non-polluting, mass-appealing, anti-looting, non-fur-wearing, all-inclusive celebration!
Unless, of course, you don't want to, because we don't want this to be a high-pressure situation. This is your holiday.
Happy whatever you're having.
Wish me happy whatever I'm having. All-inclusive, and we hope it's not intrusive to wish
happy whatever to you.
Have whatever you want.
Happy whatever to you.
I'll have what the guy on the floor's having.
Happy whatever to you.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Michael LeBeau, Chris Ann Eastwood, Sarah Sweeney, Janet Mason, Janice Ian, and Chris Wilson and Wenzel Jones contributed program material, with double thanks this week to Steve Pride. The Therapy Sisters sang Happy Whatever You're Having, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and many of you for making this program possible. Stop by our holiday open house anytime at thiswayout.org, where you'll find news wrap transcripts, social media links, mugshots of the crew, and a look back at our year together. Remember, you can also hear This Way Out on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email TWORadio@AOL.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KUCR Riverside, California, 2HOT Cobar, New South Wales, WXOJ Northampton, Massachusetts, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.